Hello, everybody. Today, I am giving you an update on the Southern Graphics Council Conference, the mega printmaking conference, biggest one in the U.S. So there's a lot that happened at this conference. And I have to say, one of the best moments was certainly seeing Andrew Raftery's home and his studio, which I had seen before many times, but this was really different because I got to bring Kat with me, and Kat saw his home with his wallpapers for the first time. This is one of the wallpapers that he made, and I was making fun of Kat because, go away. I don't want to renew right now. Sorry, my computer's got other ideas, but this is one of his wallpapers. And we got to see up close some of his woodcut work that he's been doing to create these wallpapers. And I, of course, have everything documented like crazy on video, so I actually don't have a lot of stills, but you guys will get to see a little bit of what was there. But this is a still of one of the woodcuts, and you can see he's got this repeated leaf pattern. And honestly, this was one of the most stunning things of the conference, was this gorgeous setup that he had in his dining room. Kat was having a fit because, as you probably know, she's doing a graphic novel about antiques. And she went out of her mind when she saw the way that his home was decorated. And here you can see there is just this incredible explosion of porcelain plates and everything. And here's some selfies. Me at the Nancy Elizabeth Prophet show, which was at the RISD Museum. And it was a wonderful show. The thing about the show was that Nancy Elizabeth Prophet was the first documented woman of color to have graduated from RISD. And it was a fantastic show. And I thought what was really a bummer is that they explained in the exhibition that actually not a lot of her work is surviving. And so these two busts that you're seeing in the background, I think there were maybe 10 portrait busts in the show, but that's all that's left of her sculpture. And so one thing that they did show was all these photographs of her pieces, and a lot of them were lost or they were destroyed. But fortunately, we have this documentation of her work, which is extremely important. But I had no idea until after I'd seen the show, Andrew Raftery told me that that was all that was left of her work. And I want to read more about her because not only was she the first woman of color to graduate from RISD, documented one, but she also worked in wood. She was a sculptor. There were also some paintings and some drawings in the exhibition as well. And I'm so happy that the RISD Museum made that a possibility. So we have a question here from Pat, who's asking, how large are the woodcuts for the repeating wallpaper? We go to here. So I would say probably each leaf is maybe 2 inches high. The block was maybe 18 inches by 24 inches. But I was surprised because actually this wallpaper, oh wait, this is another thing. This wallpaper is actually cut into this red material that is called ruby lith. And I have a photo of that here to show all of you. Okay, so this is the ruby lith, and you go in with an X-Acto knife and you cut out the shape, And then through multiple layers, you create the wallpaper. So I had no idea he was doing woodcuts, actually. And I think in all the time I've known him, that's the first time I've ever seen him do woodcut. So that was a really cool experience to see that. And he's expanding. I think he's doing one, I can't remember. It's some prominent person in Rhode Island. I think he's doing a wallpaper for that, or maybe he just finished it. But the point I'm making is that the wallpaper work has gone beyond his home. It's being done in other places as well, which is really exciting. Oh, you remember Ruby Lips? I mean, I just can't fathom the concept of cutting these tiny, tiny pieces and then layering multiple colors. It's such an abstract thing. And the thing is, you don't get to see the work being made. You just have to wait until you've actually printed things and hope it works out. I don't have any experience with silk screening. Tell me in the chat, who here has done silk screening before, whether it's silk screening a t-shirt or whether you've done it in a professional print shop? I really feel like I should, because you know something, and unfortunately, I don't have photos with me right now, but I will absolutely be sharing these with you when I produce the video, is there was somebody there who did a demonstration on how to combine silk screening with sugar lift, which I'd never seen before. And don't ask me to explain sugar lift, because it's impossible to explain. Even somebody who's fairly well-versed in printmaking, you will be so confused if I try to explain sugar lift to you. Instead, I'm going to produce the tutorial, and then you guys will see exactly what sugar lift is. You know something, Anna? I don't know exactly what Ruby Lift is. Magda, I don't know if you know what that is exactly, but I know you can peel the red part off, which then exposes the part that gets the ink. Nancy says, oh, so tedious, I'd never survive. For those of you like me, not intensive printmakers, there's always jelly plates. It's always monotypes, because you definitely need to be built to do work that is this labor intensive. So for example, another thing that I had the opportunity to do at the conference is I got to visit my old stomping grounds, the litho shop at the RISD printmaking building. And it's funny because I spent time in the shop when I did take a lithography class my senior year at RISD, but I never did lithography after that. I really would like to do it again. Actually, one of my colleagues, Carolyn Muscat, who has a shop in Boston, I actually did run into her at the conference, which is really cool. I've always had this dream that I could just spend a week with her and just focus on lithography. But the funny thing is that this particular lithography studio, I did spend a lot of time in it when I taught, because I was teaching a relief class. And what I thought was so funny about that relief class is that we actually did the printing on litho presses. So this is a litho press, and you can see it doesn't have that giant roller that you would expect to see if you know about printmaking, a big roller on an etching press. And so this one has that little round chrome thing that's to tighten the pressure. And then that big black bar at the bottom has something called a scraper bar that goes underneath it. And so when I started teaching the relief class, they're like, yeah, you're going to use the lithography studio for relief. I was like, what? I got used to it. It totally is fine. But it took me a minute because I had to remember how to do the litho press. I mean, it didn't take forever to jog my memory again, but it did take some adjusting. And so for that reason, I did actually spend quite a bit of time in the lithography studios. But it is really fun to go back and visit. My favorite thing about going to a lot of print shops is all the cute signs that are all over the facilities telling you to clean up after yourself. We all agreed at the conference that when you're a printmaker, you really can't get away with being a jerk, because when you do printmaking, at least in a professional print shop, it is a community effort and people get very mad if you don't clean up after yourselves. It's a really good way to get eaten alive by these printmakers. Okay, yeah, so M. Torti says, if I remember correctly, there's a clear plastic layer, red plastic layer that you cut. Absolutely. Wow, Pat says, I just picked up my first printing press today. It's a desktop press for relief printing. Wow, we're just going to have to celebrate that with you, Pat, because when you get your own printing press, it's a very special moment in a printmaker's life. I bought a baby press in 1999. I just graduated art school and I wanted to find a way to do prints without having to, say, rent an expensive print shop or something like that. But looking forward to see what you make. And okay, so Janice says that she did squeegees and a screen, but I have no prints to prove I actually did one. It was a long time ago. I still think just the concept of prints and how they get made, it still feels like magic to me. I know that sounds a little ridiculous because I've been doing printmaking for a while. I know how it works. And yet when they pull that proof, oh my gosh. I went to this one demo and you can totally hear the throughout the demonstration, and Kat and I were laughing because when we were touring Andrew Raftery's home and looking at all of the wallpapers, we kept hearing gasps throughout the tour. Like people were just doing that left and right because it's just so astonishing the type of work that he creates. Owen says, I'm going into printmaking next year at RISD. I'm so excited, but it's quite intimidating, not gonna lie. It does feel that way at first, because especially when you are going into a printmaking major for the first time and you don't know many of the techniques, and most people don't. I mean, it's extremely rare to come to art school and even know what intaglio means. There's a huge learning curve, and I would just say, know that these techniques really, really take time. Because I took an intaglio class my freshman year at art school, and we did a new technique every week. And I just thought I was going to die. Like I couldn't absorb all of those things. But the important thing is the exposure. You get exposed to a technique. Because I only did dry point for a week in that class. But later on, I said to myself, you know something, I don't have a print shop. I don't want to deal with acid, but you know something, I can do dry point. So that's when I bought that baby press. And that's what enabled me to be able to make my own prints. And I did tons of prints on that. Nancy's asking, did you get to do any printmaking while you were there? I did not. I was very happy to kick back and just watch everybody else work the magic. When you teach so much, it is really fun when you don't have to do any work. You can just stand there and relax and absorb. I mean, I really do feel like going to a conference for artists, it really does feel like you're going to a spa. You're going to rejuvenate yourself as an artist. You go to see all these people who you haven't seen for a long time, under less stressful circumstances because you're just there for social reasons, not like you have to work with each other so much. And the other thing is you get exposed to so many new things. For example, the demos I went to, so one of them was that sugar lift and screen printing demo, which was fantastic. And there was another one about how to do lithography on wood, which I'd never seen before either. And actually, you guys, this is one of my favorite demos. I can't wait to share the video with all of you. But this is a traditional Korean technique, and it's called Joomchi. I'll put it into the chat so you guys can see what it is, Joomchi. And this demo was done by Yongbin Park, who is a professor at, I think it was University of Memphis. I could be wrong. You guys can look him up. His Instagram is up there. And it's this incredible technique. It's just water and paper. That's it. And he had a pasta roller, bubble wrap, and a bamboo thing. The ones that you use to roll up sushi. And it's extremely time consuming. And literally all you do is you just sit there. You could see him just doing this during the demo. He would just take the paper and just do this. It was amazing. And then there are other parts where he would put it back and forth. Like, he had all these amazing hand gestures and he would turn the paper. It's just like layered pieces of wet paper. And then they come out having just this extraordinary texture to them. What I thought was amazing is that he explained that this technique, Jumchi, is actually much more about creating material and it's not really about making the image. So he actually said there are a lot of applications for it, for example, in textiles or even fashion design. I mean, I feel like I saw about 1% of what is possible, but oh my gosh, the video is going to be great, you guys. And I'm really proud of myself because I found a workflow where I was able to shoot and edit at the same time. Because, you know, in demos, there's always like a minute or two where they're having some downtime or they're doing something that you already filmed. So I was like filming and then editing and filming and editing. And so a lot of these, they're almost done. I just have to fix up a couple little things, but I was like really happy that I managed to like really film the whole thing. Probably there's going to be some things I miss, but the videos that I shot of these demonstrations, they are pretty comprehensive, which I was very, very happy to see. And we also have a comment here. M. Torty, can't wait to see what you make with the new press. Seven Angelic says, sweet new toys are always fun. But you know what's really interesting about this conference? Well, first of all, I went to the RISD printmaking reunion because Cornelia McSheehy, who longtime professor in printmaking at RISD, is retiring. And so they had a party to honor her. And it was very strange because now my students, they are old enough that they are now teaching in academia. So that's the first time I've had that experience. For the longest time, my generation was sort of the younger generation. And my generation is definitely not quite senior faculty, but we're getting up there. And there are so many young professors that I met who had used our content during the pandemic, people who used us for getting into graduate school and are now teaching. And it was so odd. Like, I'm walking around the conference and everybody's like, I follow you on Instagram. You're Clara. That's never, ever happened to me before, you guys. So I guess people do watch our videos. And I was just startled by that so many people had used us at various stages of their development. Like, I actually ran into two people. One of them is a friend of a friend of Diti's, and he just got into grad school this year. So I was, oh my gosh, it was so surreal. It's like all these generations. And then I ran into people who were my professors, people who were my colleagues, people who knew me at the very beginning of my career. And that was also strange because these are people who knew me when I was probably, I don't know, 28 and first dipping my toe into academia. Some of my peers were there. It just was this time warp of people I knew in academia and printmaking, which just really caught me off guard. Okay, so Seven Angelic is asking, was a certain type of paper necessary, like made out of a certain material? I believe at the demo, he said that he was using mulberry, and it was from this place called Paper Connection, which is in Rhode Island. And I did get to speak to some of the people there briefly, not enough because, oh my gosh, conference is crazy. It's just packed with people. But if you look up Paper Connection Rhode Island, you guys can see what they had. I'm pretty sure he said he used Mulberry, but I'd have to look it up. I maybe caught that in the tutorial. I'll have to take a look. But it just struck me as such an old concept, like no glue. I seriously looked at the stuff before and I was like, oh, he has to have some kind of adhesive to put this together. But no, it's like it all is just paper and water. And he actually explained that after, this was the demo piece that he did. He said that when it dries, it's like leather. It's really, really hard. And so what he did was he took like, I don't know, 8 layers or so of papers, collaged them together, kept wetting them. I mean, it was a very meditative process. It was very funny. He explained that he watched a lot of Breaking Bad. Yes, you're right, Brian. Gen X isn't old. At least that's what I tell myself. I just could see that Gen X was moving up in academia, and I could see that a lot of the professors that I had were either already gone or very close to retirement. And so it was this big sort of shift that I felt when I was there, which I hadn't really felt before. I mean, it really felt like there was a changing of the guard in terms of the faculty there, and seeing my students in full-time teaching positions in academia. It's amazing. Yes, I was in my element. And it's funny because when you teach online, it's hard to have a grasp of who you're really reaching, because there are certainly people here who comment a lot, interact a lot with people at our Discord and stuff like that. And I love that. But what's interesting is that there's so many people that I met at the conference who follow me. I'd never interact with them, didn't know who they were at all. And it's like they just come out of the woodwork when you get to see people in person. So it was really, really cool to see all of that, because you're like, wow, people do watch this. It's sort of a funny thing for me to think about. And Brian says, did they show any archaic fact of printmaking that they don't use anymore? I'm thinking of the sculpture of the typewriter eraser on the mall. Oh, I don't even think I know what you're talking about, Brian. I guess I'm going to have to look that up. No, but what I did get to see, I did discover a new etching ground that I had never heard of before. So typically in etching, there's different kinds of grounds. The most common one is called universal etching ground. It's really easy. You just paint it on. But there's also ones like ball ground. Ball ground, it's like a little piece of brown wax. And you have to put your plate on a hot plate and you just melt. It's very thin. But I found one at one of the demos. It was called Baldwin's ink ground. They kept calling it big. And I was like, what is big? And so later I found it at McLean's. So McLean's, and I'll put this into the chat too, McLean's printmaking supplier. So McLean's had a thing of the Baldwin's etching, Baldwin's inking ground. That's what it was called. So I saw it there and I saw it at the demonstration. I was like, how did I never hear about this before? Oh, actually, you know what I could do for you guys? Do you want to see some of the tote bag stuff I got? That would be pretty fun. Okay, give me a second. Hang on. Think about how we have May and June workshops that you can sign up for. Give me a second. They're right behind me. Okay, here we go. In fact, I can show you guys, see my tote? This is the very, very flimsy tote that they give you when you go to the conference. And because I went to the RISD printmaking reunion, they gave us more totes. This is one that they gave us. Printing anytime, RISD printmaking. So you guys want to see what's in the goodie bag, because they always give you, the funnest thing is when you walk around and they just are showing you so many things. Yeah, it was really funny. Okay, I'll show you guys some of the highlights of the conference. Let's see, we've got, oh, okay, McLean's, you guys did a great job. Look at this. Their business card is a piece of wood. Isn't that just the coolest thing? I just love that. This I'm going to remember. McLean's, you guys did a good job on your advertising. And I got to get a catalog. This is my friend Liz Shepherd. She runs a wonderful print shop in Boston. And she's an incredible artist. She does sculpture. She does so many different types of printmaking. I can just show you guys really briefly some of her stuff. Sorry, this is kind of hard to show, but there you can see a little bit some of Liz's work. Maybe I'll make a reel about this. But really, really prolific artist. And she showed me stuff that they've been doing at the shop, photogravure, which I've never done before. And I did film a reel on that, of course. So this was a treat, though. I mean, she gave this to me. Like, normally these would sell. Look at all my RISD alumni paraphernalia. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. It's just really flimsy. Okay. We were admiring Manhattan Graphic Center. We were very happy with their graphic design. Isn't this great? I really like this brochure. But if you open it, they have all this information about the center. And so it's basically a community print space in Manhattan, and they have all the facilities to do. I'm trying to find the fun things for you guys. What's this? Oh, okay. So just so many printmaking organizations that you find out about. This is Frogman's. What is this? I think this is part of the conference. I have no idea what this is. It's some handout. This is Craftland. This is a cute little shop in downtown Providence. And actually, Deep D used to work there, which is kind of cool. All right. And here we have Printmakers Network of Southern New England. Oh, this is my friend Liz Shepherd. So she has this shop, Shepherd and Maudsley Community Prints Shop. And if you look in the brochure, there's all this information about the various facilities that they offer. I mean, I could just walk around and pick these up all day. It's really, really fun. Do you guys like picking things up like this? I just can't resist it. Oh, Boston Printmakers. So this is the Boston Printmakers North American Print Biennial. And I used to be in Boston Printmakers when I was in Boston, and I actually met them at the exact same conference in 2004. And so this is the Print Biennial that they do. It's a huge printmaking show. Usually it's at Boston University. So that's the postcard for that show. I didn't get to go to this. This is the Print Hop. So this is basically where they just have all these different galleries and you can go see all these shows. I was just dead by the end of the day after filming. I was like, I can't do it. Oh, we have a question here from Pat. Is it mostly demonstrations or are there lectures as well? And what were they about? Actually, I was kind of bummed that they didn't have more demonstrations, and the demonstrations that they had were packed. I mean, like standing room only. So I know they're probably a lot of work, of course, but I mean, that's in addition to the materials fair, like the highlight of the conference is the demos and materials. There's a ton of panel discussions, and I confess that I don't like those as much unless it's somebody I know or it's a speaker I'm really excited about. I don't tend to get into those. I know it's terrible to say, but who wants to hear a discussion when you could go touch printmaking supplies all day? I mean, it's really hard to resist. Oh, Janice has ordered from McLean's before. Yeah, we used to order from them all the time when I taught the relief printmaking class at RISD. And 7A says, did you get any supply samples you get to play with? I don't think I did. I feel like I would have remembered, but honestly, it was such a blur. Like, I don't remember anything that happened. Oh, I do feel very official, you see? We're real, you guys. We exist, according to the conference. Okay, you guys want to see more swag? Okay, let's take a look at what else is there. Okay, let's see. What have we got? This says worldwide printmaking event. Print day in May. Actually, I've never heard of this before. Cute. I mean, half the stuff I picked up, I haven't even had an opportunity to stop and look at. Oh, here's another Manhattan Graphics Center. They have a very good graphic designer. I'm impressed. Oh, this was really cool. This company, Cranfield, honestly, I've never used their stuff before, but I think it was Sarah in the Patreon group mentioned to me Caligo Safe Wash, which is I don't think I'd call it a solvent because it's not like it's very safe. I mean, that's the whole point that they have it. But this place, Cranfield, the thing about their inks is that they can be washed with Caligo Safe Wash. And yeah, Caligo Safe Wash Relief Inks, Safe Wash Etching Inks. Okay, sustainably sourced oils and artist grade pigments. Okay, oil based and washable, non-toxic printmaking, solvent free cleaning. Okay, there you go. I like how I'm like learning this as I read it to you guys on the stream. Gosh, I have so many of these. I'm trying to find the ones. Or like this. Like, I didn't know about this place. This is the Wells Book Art Summer Institute. And it looks like you can take workshops, Lakeside Studios. Oh, it's in Aurora, New York. Yeah. So if you guys want information on these programs, this is a great place. If you guys didn't catch the names or anything, just leave a comment on this video and I'll reply later with the information. Oh my God, you guys, look at this. This is from Pacific Northwest College of Art. You know what it is? It's Band-Aids, because art is healing. I have to say, I think it was McLean's had the same thing. They also had Band-Aids like this, but they said on the packaging something about a bench hook. I can't remember. It was some cautionary thing. But anyway, here are some Band-Aids because they know you're going to cut yourself. Yay. This is a great thing to know about. Oh, okay. My friend Liz, she gets the best button. Power to the press. I do like this one a lot. Yeah, there are a lot of buttons. Actually, the cutest button. Okay, no, I'm sorry. This one's cuter than Liz's. You can't compete with this, you guys. Look at this. And probably most of you don't know what this is. So do you see these? I'm trying to put them up close. Okay. So these are buttons, and they are buttons of lithofans. So a lithofan is this very archaic thing. You do it like this, and it's basically when you have a lithostone and you need to make it dry more quickly to do the next step. And so here we have tiny lithofans, and these were from To Catch Press. Yeah, To Catch Press is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they sell presses and they also sell lots of supplies. But I was very impressed by the tiny lithofan button. I think that was fantastic. All right, we also have, oh, this is so cool, you guys. So Backbone Bindery. This is a bindery in, I think it's Pawtucket, is it? Yes, Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And Backbone Bindery is run by a former student of mine named Place. And I don't know if some of you guys saw the reel, but I did interview Place about their bookbinding pieces, and it was really, really cool. It's like, well, that's the other thing too, is in addition to my students entering academia as professors, they're also starting their own businesses. and doing amazing work out there. I mean, it's like, wow, I know all these amazing people who do so many cool things. Okay, we also have, this is the one I wanted to tell you guys about, photo engraved wood blocks. So this is something that was started by Sarah Pike. She's so nice. And actually, you guys, she knew me. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And so she teaches an online class, and it's about educators who want to learn the essential tools and techniques of laser cutting without feeling intimidated by technology. And so basically, if you guys look at this, these are all woodcuts, but they're done with laser cutting. And basically what she does is she helps people create and format Photoshop files to be able to do this. And I filmed many, many reels, so you guys will get a chance to see this. But I was like, wow, I've never seen this before. Photo engraved wood blocks. And that is at learnlasercutting.com. You guys can check it out. Okay, more swag. Oh, these are cute. Oh, this is not related to the conference, but you guys see these? These are stickers from the Athenaeum in Providence, which is actually where Mia works. And I cannot believe I lived in Providence so long and went there like twice. But it's a beautiful place. It's a library, but it's a private library. So you pay for membership. They also sell books and all sorts of other cool things. But it's a beautiful building if you guys are ever there. And Nancy says, saw your video about the material made with snail poop, the ones that eat colored paper. Is that a real thing people use? Actually, the librarian told us that they don't make it anymore. I guess it was probably too difficult to sustain. It's like, for those of you guys who missed it, basically to make this substance, look up art prof poop, you'll find it. That's in the title of the video. But basically, they feed colored paper to snails. The snails poop it out, and they make this weird rubbery thing out of it. But yeah, they don't make it anymore. Okay, so Pat has used Caligo Safe Wash. Fantastic. Being able to wash oil-based with soap and water is really handy when I'm working out of my basement. I'm going to have to try it sometime. I've never used it before. Anna says, how do you get a print shop to work with you? They are invitation only, as far as I know. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of shops. If you just call them up and say, I have a project I want to do, they will probably work with you. I mean, I'm sure there are ones that are perhaps you need membership or something like that. But I know my friend Liz Shepard in Boston works with people, Carolyn Muscat as well. They're both fantastic printmakers in Boston. And Seven Angelic says, like with a CNC machine, or is it some other device for the laser wood blocks? I'm not sure. I bet if you guys go to her website, I'm going to type it into the chat so you guys can find it. Got to put my swag. Okay, it is learnlasercutting.com. And their Instagram is, okay, Instagram is Free Fall Laser. You guys can take a look at that. And the woman who runs it is Sarah Pike. Blue Ren says, the Cranfield oil-based inks are just gorgeous. They have a luminosity that the Caligo just doesn't have. I find cleanup with vegetable oil works really well. I know, there's so many ways of doing printmaking. I just want to try them all. It's really, really fun. Oh, and Brian says, the first lithos were made in 1920 for the Harding campaign. Yeah, Toulouse-Lautrec. Oh, those are some sweet lithographs that he created. Let's see. Oh, RISD alumni book. I don't know. I guess it could be my junk sketchbook. That's what I have in my purse. Just so if I get bored, it's not really a sketchbook I like use. It's just Claire's bored. I'm going to just do that because I'm sick of my phone. And I don't know who thinks I'm beautiful, but this apparently the sticker thinks I am. Oh, this is more Boston printmakers. Wow, I picked up a lot from Manhattan Graphic Center. Either that or they did a good job of giving me all the stuff. And what's this? Whoops. Printmaking, Preservation, and Renewal. This says MAPC Conference at Kansas State University. Okay, might check that out. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here, but I think you guys get the point. I picked up a lot of things. Oh, this is a cute one, actually. This is a letter press place, and it's in Rhode Island, and it's DWRI Letter Press. It's on Rice Street, and I believe, sorry, I know my webcam is not focusing right now, but I thought this is really nice. Fold out postcard that they had. Oh, there you go. Now you guys can see it. DWRI Letter Press. And I like their little paperclip. Do you guys see the paperclip? I think that's really, really cute. Gosh, I even had time to just process everything that I saw there. It's so exhausting. And for a long time, I was like, I can make it through this. And gosh, at the end of the day, I was like, I'm really tired. I can't do this. Like, I was going to go to Dorian's basketball game, but I was just like dead at the end of the day. But so hopefully you guys have gotten to see some of the reels that we've thrown together. We had a visit to the materials lab, which was super fun. That's actually part of the RISD library. And unfortunately, it's not open to the public, but hopefully you guys can get something out of those reels. And, oh, you guys will really like this. Dorian took us on a tour of the industrial design building, and we got to see the wood and metal shops. Oh my God, it was the coolest thing. I have never stepped foot in the ID building the whole time that I taught at RISD, and oh my gosh, all the machines. It was just the coolest thing I have seen in a very long time. Remember, everybody, we are doing registration for our May and June workshops, flowers, pen and ink, printmaking, acrylic painting, landscapes and water, collage, and mixed media. And by the way, the printmaking workshop, we're going to leave it open in terms of technique. So any form of printmaking you want to work on in that workshop, we can do. So don't feel like you have to do something fancy. And you can also come in having never done printmaking before. I will definitely set you up in a way that is feasible to do the workshop. Join our Discord. This is where you get to hang out with our staff. You can meet me right after the stream. I will be in the Post Live Streams channel. If you guys want to ask me about any more of those things I saw at Southern Graphics Conference, I can also give you guys a bunch of links and recommendations for various printmaking things. Join our Patreon group. This is where you get to share your art in weekly voice sessions. I write very, very long critiques, and it's a great place, a small group where you can make art friends. Art Prof has services. We have artist calls, personal art curriculum, statement editing, portfolio critiques. Huge thank you to our top Patreon supporters who make everything possible for us here at Art Prof. I'm so grateful to everything you guys have done for us. Visit artprof.org for content that's not on YouTube. Use the search bar. Art Prof has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And subscribe to our channel for more tutorials, critiques, and business tips. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.